Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I am Brian Wampler, and back again today after a few weeks hiatus is Blake Weiland. Today we talk about Blake's new guitar he got. We talk about amp-in-a-box pedal placement, like where should it go? Where should it go? And what makes them different from other distortion pedals? We also talk about Blake's new spring reverb unit that's pretty cool. I haven't ever actually played this one, but it sounds really great. And also, just kind of a quick heads up, my audio that I'm recording on this microphone here actually totally bit the bullet in the middle of this. So unfortunately, you're going to notice that the audio changes in the middle where my voice goes to my iPhone headset. So I apologize for that. I just want to give you a heads up notice. So if you hear a change in the audio, that's what's going on. But let's get into the podcast right now.
Here we are. Yet again, I find myself staring down this microphone with a pedal bag on it, talking to Brian Wampler.
Dude, you need to just spend the $3 and buy a pop filter.
It's not the three bucks, it's just that I forget until it's time to record, and then obviously I don't have time, because there isn't yet, I mean, it'll probably happen in our lifetime, but there isn't yet Amazon Instant where they just teleport things to us.
But
we're close. So, coming. In the meantime, I have a Caroline Guitar Company pedal bag on my mic.
Well, I'm going to send you my Amazon affiliate link, therefore, so I can get that pop filter in the mail to you and make a couple bucks off your back as well. How about that?
That's just fine. It don't cost me any extra.
That's what friends do.
It is what friends do. If it don't cost me any extra money and I can put a few dollars in your pocket, I'll do it all day, every day.
You know, if you ever, I don't know if you're this way, but I've noticed some people are this way. Like if there's an affiliate link, and maybe it's not so much in guitar world, but other places. If there's an affiliate link, I've literally seen people go through a ton of trouble to remove the affiliate link.
I've never seen that before. The opposite. I've went through a ton of trouble to use people's affiliate links.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you've done a lot for me in your content or whatever. I need this thing that you have an affiliate link for. I'm going to make sure that I use it.
Yeah. I mean, there's been different market, there's some marketing forums and some like eBay sales forums, and not that I go to those a bunch, but I used to more often back in the day, years ago. And I would see people like there was discussions about how they were trying to get, you know, trying to find the same link without going to the affiliate link. And I'm like, what? You're not losing out on anything. Like, there's no, you don't get charged more.
No, that's so weird.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, but that is a weird world anyways. I don't suggest anybody dive into that unless you're just crazy like me.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, so, before we get too far into this.
Sure.
I know it's been a long time. In fact, one of the earliest Chasing Tone episodes that I was on, this was the circumstance. But I just want to preface this with, I'm running on about 2 hours of sleep or so, and not because of it's anyone's fault, just is sometimes how the cookie crumbles. So this could get real interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I could get real goofy or real angry, depending on what
both.
We start talking about.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm drinking my coffee out of a Pelican Noise Works cup right now.
Very nice.
And so I'll drink an extra cup for you for this, you know?
I did just shotgun one before the before the mics got hot. I was like, coffee! Blah! Here we are.
Oh, yeah. So this could go, this might be fun. Might be.
It should be fun. I do have a lot of things to talk about.
I was gonna say,
it's been a bit long.
It's been a bit since we've talked. You know?
Life be crazy sometimes.
I know. Life gets in the way sometimes, and you're like, oh, man, I got to do the podcast today, and can't do it because I got to do work stuff. I don't know what voice that is. I have no idea. But
a lame guy who has to work.
Yeah, who wants to be one of those people?
I certainly don't, but hey, you know, it is the American dream.
Do you like eating as well? That also helps, yeah.
I do. I really like eating. I just polished off a shrimp melt and some clam strips.
That's disgusting.
It was quite good.
That's disgusting.
No, it was good. It was like a little English muffin with some shrimp on it and some pepper jack cheese, a little spicy sauce. Man, it was good. It was so good.
I think I'm just in the part of America where we don't really eat that much seafood. You know, like there's not fresh. You're in Oregon, so there's probably, you know, fresh shrimp and fresh seafood a lot easier there than here in Indiana.
Yes.
So, you know, Indiana,
pretty accessible.
We can get fresh hamburgers all day long. Like there's cows everywhere, cows and hogs, you know, or corn. Fresh corn all the time. Yeah. Fresh seafood.
Oh, goody.
Don't have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see if it's not, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, caught within several hours. But, yeah, seafood's one of them things. It's probably a little better to have on hand if you're going to consume said things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so anyways, go ahead. I interrupted you.
I'm done talking about food. Well, I'm not. I'm never done talking about food, but I could talk about food all day long. But I do have like some actual musical gear related things to discuss in that have happened lately. If you got the time, I got the words.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that might be a good thing to discuss on a Chasing Tone podcast. Something about guitar related things.
Well, in the guitar-specific things, I almost forgot. Tomorrow is New Guitar Day, which is always exciting.
That is exciting, yes.
I think I may have talked about this last time, so I don't want to go on too much about it, but I got a guitar made by a man in Canada named Florian, and he has a company called Millimetric Instruments, and he makes these like really interesting, like angular kind of like crazy looking guitars, but like still like I like very traditional guitars most of the time, and these are not that, but yet they're still very appealing to my eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And I ordered one back quite a while ago, and I told him, you know what, I want it to be this body shape that you have and a baritone six string. Other than that, you surprise me. And it turned out quite good as far as the appearance goes. I'm very excited to get my mitts on it this week and give a full review.
And who's it for again? So, what company?
Millimetric Instruments. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen him or not.
I have not.
I don't think he's been making. I think he's been making guitars just the last couple years. But I played some of his stuff before, and they're really really cool. A bit polarizing for some people. I think like very traditional guys are probably not going to be a big fan, but us weird younger dudes seem to just eat them up. So Check him out, Millimetric Instruments. He makes really awesome stuff. I like it a lot.
I actually am in the market for some non-Telecaster and non-Stratocaster type guitars.
This definitely fits that mold.
Well, good. Yeah, I need to break out of my my Telecaster mold. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Telecasters right now.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
I don't
think
I don't think I need any more.
I'm kind of the same way with Les Pauls. I've got 3.
Really? You have only got 2 of those. Well, yeah. I have an Agile Les Paul, which is, you know, like a $200 version.
Right.
Oddly enough, it plays better than my regular Les Paul.
Of course. You know, isn't that the way the cookie crumbles?
That is the weirdest. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I paid $200 for it. You can throw it down a flight of stairs and it still stays in tune. You know, just everything. The finish is good on it. The neck is good on it. I've had it for several years now. And then I have like a 92 or 94 Les Paul Studio or something. It's not a real expensive one, but still, you know, I mean, I've talked before about all the problems I have with that thing. I've changed pickups on it, messed with the tuning keys, bridges, nuts, so you name, I mean, like everything, just to try to keep the freaking thing playable. So
not happening.
I like the guitar. I mean, like, it's a pretty guitar, feels good. It's just a pain in my butt, man. You know, I mean, like,
is this always coming out of tune or what?
Those G strings on those Gibsons. And there's other people who've talked about different ways to fix that. I've tried every one of those ways. Right now, it's like wrapped around the bridge, and that mm-hmm. has helped the most out of everything.
You got all of them wrapped around, top wrapped, as they say, or just that one?
I forget. I can't see the bridge from right now, and I forget. That's terrible. I probably should change the strings.
That's a good idea. No. I mean, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I was thinking it was just a G. Maybe it's all of them. Man, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
You probably did all of them. I've literally never seen anybody just top wrap one string. That'd be a first for me. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I can't tell. I tried to move a little closer and see it, but I can't. Sorry.
Put your binoculars on. Look over there.
Let me get my telescope out here and look at that thing. So I don't know. But, you know,
anyway.
if I was a Gibson vice president or president or, you know, somebody in charge of it, I probably would fix mm-hmm. that problem like that.
Hey, Henry, you know? There's a suggestion for you. Get rid of the robot tuners and fix the G-string.
Yeah.
It's only been a problem for 75 years.
Exactly. How about just make it where you don't need robot tuners? How about that? I want to do that. You know?
Decent idea. So. Henry J., if you happen to be listening, it's just a nugget we're going to drop out there for you.
Free of charge.
Do with that what you will, you know?
I'm sure he's listening to the Chasing Tone podcast right now, yeah. I'm sure it's exactly what
he's probably listening to. Never mind. Never mind.
And that's how we got sued.
I've heard tales, and I shouldn't repeat them. Because I have no factual basis for them, but I've heard some horror stories. Anyway, let's see. Let's move away from that hot button issue. Oh boy, Mr. Wampler.
How dare I bring that up? Right?
Yeah. How dare you bring up Gibson and their guitars that sometimes won't stay in tune? Man, I love my Gibsons, though. I really do.
I know,
not
man.
Just saying that.
That's the thing. That's why I keep messing with it, because I actually really like the guitar,
mm-hmm.
other than everything I don't like about it. But I keep trying to fix that stuff.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a tech or a luthier or anything like that, but what I've found with Les Pauls, which I'm a big Les Paul fan. I always have been. What I've found is that you kind of just need to start with one that is kind of, for the most part, trouble-free, and then you're good.
Hmm.
Like, the ones I have, the biggest problem I've had with my Les Pauls is, well, my old Junior had some stuff that was kind of just related to age that needed tuned up when I first got it. But my first Les Paul was like a 2005... Les Paul Special, and it was a great playing guitar right from the get-go, but the Clusen tuners, did I say mm-hmm. that right? The backs would actually pop off of them, and then they wouldn't tune anymore, because the gears would like come separated from them. That had to do with me drop tuning all the time and using heavy strings, but I replaced it with a set of Godos. Smooth sailing ever since. Things
yeah.
been a dream.
But as much as you pay for that guitar, you shouldn't have to do that. That's my thought.
That one was pretty cheap, actually.
Oh, okay.
But it was a one of the Les Paul faded ones from the early 2000s. They weren't too bad.
I guess I'm just saying, if my $200 Agile Les Paul copy, if it doesn't have those problems, and I haven't changed anything on it except for the pickups, can't someone else do that? You know,
are you talking about one of the most recognizable guitar brands in the history of guitar? Maybe they should be able to fix that.
I would.
What you're saying?
I would think maybe go to Rondo Music, buy an Agile guitar, and see what they did. Maybe reverse engineer it, incorporate some of those things into your guitars. That'll fix your tuning problems, and there you go.
That was free of charge, by the way. Normally, you charge a large consulting fee for things like that.
Normally, that's a $300 an hour consultation charge. No, but I will say this, that the Agile guitar does not sound like a Les Paul. It sounds good, but it doesn't sound like a Les Paul. It doesn't have that mid-range bark. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's a different wood or whatever, but it sounds good. It's just not a Les Paul, even though it looks like it.
Yeah, I wonder, with Agile being a lower-end brand, I wonder if they use something like, you know, Les Pauls have traditionally the same materials for the most part. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they use, like, basswood or something, which wouldn't be in that ballpark. But
MDF.
Anyway.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We made this out of the finest MDF. It's void-free. Void-free MDF compressed particle board. It's
there
all
are no
good.
Knots in this, exactly.
There might be parts of knots ground up, but that's not the point.
Right. Oh, so I saw a good question on Facebook in the Wampler Pedals Tone Group.
Okay, I won't talk about my other new gear day. I'll talk about actually benefiting somebody.
I definitely want to get to your new gear day. I just want to insert this real quick.
So, please do,
because it's I keep getting this question over and over, or similar questions, and so I just thought it might be fun to get some perspective on it. Mm-hmm. So the question is...
Sleep-deprived perspective.
Should you run amp-in-a-box pedals first in the setup or last? Like, you know what I mean? Let's say you have 10 pedals. Do you want that more towards your guitar or more towards the amp?
Okay. I gotcha. My thought on that is... We've talked before. I don't really think of amp-in-a-box pedals as some people do. I kind of look at them as different flavors of overdrive rather than what they're marketed as usually, including yours. I look at them as like, it's like, okay, this one's a higher gain and this one's a, you know, it's supposed to have this sound, which is a high gain sound. This one's supposed to have this sound, which is not. So I kind of look at them as more of levels of dirt, I guess. And
it can be.
That's not entirely accurate. It's just how they...
Well, sometimes it is accurate. I mean, there's a well-known company that basically... Let me think of the diplomatic way to say this. They use a lot of the same skeleton for overdrive circuits. Mm-hmm. And on one of them, it's real similar to like a Tube Screamery type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a Marshall-flavored pedal. I should say that. It's marketed as a Marshall amp in a box type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, coming from that perspective, like, I don't subscribe to that. But, like, when we did the 30-something, I literally had several different Vox amps that I was playing through those amps, and then I had, like, a deluxe reverb or a Hot Rod Deluxe or something set up, and I was on a breadboard trying to mimic the sound of that amp. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So, like, so to me, that's more of like an amp in a box type of thing. Whereas, yes. I don't know, like the Plexi Drive, for example, I did kind of want it to be kind of chewy, like more like the sound of songs more than like a specific amp. You know what I mean? Like, so I was like with the first Plexi Drive, I was really going for like early AC/DC type things.
That's what I was just going to say. You were listening to Back in Black, comparing back and forth from that,
right? Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, so I was approaching it that way, where, I mean, yes, it's a JFET-based overdrive, but I was trying to voice it like that particular guitar tone, which is a Marshall, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, from that perspective, I probably would, here's how I would separate the two. If you can get it really clean, and you want, you know, like the 30-something. Let's say you're playing through a deluxe reverb, but you want a clean AC-30 type of sound. Well, then the 30-something pedal is perfect to put towards the end of the chain before the delay. The same place you'd put an EQ pedal, usually. Mm-hmm. So after all dirt, before reverb and delay. Mm-hmm. And just kind of voice it like you would do, like you would use an EQ pedal. Versus something like the Plexi Drive. Excuse me, which you can run it clean, but I usually use it more up front, maybe with a Tumnus or a Tube Screamer type of thing before it to hit it and punch it in the face and give it a little bit more gain.
Right.
You know? So there's like, but we've talked about this before. There is no definitive answer. It's just, here's what works best for me. You know, customer, try it both ways and see what you like. Like there's, I didn't intend it to be in any certain way, you know? That's for the customer to decide.
Right. Like you designed it, you know, to try to basically, now correct me if I'm wrong. This is a question I've got a lot lately, but in talking to you, I think I know the answer, but let's get it straight from the horse's mouth. When you're doing amp in a box, quote unquote, type pedals, when you design them, like where are you plugging? Like you said earlier, you're plugging into a Hot Rod Deluxe some of the time. Are you plugging into a Hot Rod Deluxe or are you plugging into just a wide variety of different amps or maybe even direct in at times, trying to get it as close as you can across multiple platforms?
Right.
That's what I assumed you were doing. Is that correct?
Well, that's actually several different questions. So first of all, I'm generally assuming it's going to go into the input and not like the effects return. Okay.
Right. Right.
So I'm assuming that it's going to get flavored by that amp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm plugging into like all the most common amps that I think people may have. So like right now, I have a couple different PV Classics, a Blues Junior, a Pro Junior, a Hot Rod Deluxe, a Twin, a Deluxe Reverb, an Orange, a couple different Marshalls, Egnator.
Oh, that Orange.
Mesa Boogie, Bassman. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, a lot of different topologies, a couple different Voxes. And that's just what I see right now.
It's just what I can see from this vantage point.
I know there's some. I have an isolated room for the cabinets. I know there's some more amps in there as well. But, you know, like, for example, I have a Line 6 Spire. I'll run it through that, too.
I got one here. It was Leon speaking of Pelican Noise Works. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
I've used it for trying out different prototypes, too. Like, if it sounds good through this,
right,
it's going to work.
Right. Know? Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is just I don't want a person to get the pedal and be like, this thing sucks through this amp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it does happen. I mean, there's just sometimes one pedal just does not work the best with a different amp, you know? I mean, you know, AC30s are notoriously hard to work with a variety of overdrives, you know?
Whereas, they're very, 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 very picky.
Right, whereas like very a Blackface picky. Style amp is notoriously easy on overdrives, mm-hmm. You know, like basically everything sounds good through them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So I guess that answers your question. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yes, you put it through as many platforms as possible.
Yes.
Trying to make sure you can get the sound you're shooting for as close as possible through each one. So,
and then when we build we'll build a prototype, because that's just the breadboard. Once we build the prototype, I send that out around to a bunch of different people and collect like everyone's advice.
Not everyone's.
Well, not everyone, but people who I like.
Not this guy.
Well, that's why I said people who I like.
That's what I thought. I've never given you feedback on anything.
Well, you never know. I may have a crazy fuzz in the works that I'm going to send to you and you just don't know about it yet.
I kind of do.
Could happen.
I mean, no, I don't know anything about that. We've not discussed that at all. oh man, I didn't give. I don't know if anyone cares because your idea was much better articulated. But I was gonna say with amp in a box stuff for me, I don't have just a ton of it that's marketed that way. But one I've been really getting a kick out of for a long time, and I like everything I've played from this guy. He was on my show too. John Snyder from Electronic Audio Experiments. He's got a good set of ears on him, and he's pretty good with the old electronics. And I've been loving his. He's got a Model FET, which is supposed to recreate kind of the Sun Model T sound, which you know I've been really digging on the Sun stuff lately. But I got that before I got my Beta Lead, and I just found that pedal was just really fun to experiment with putting in different places in the chain and seeing what would happen. because it's very flexible. Mm-hmm. And it stacked well with lots of things. So I, you know, we've said this before, and it might sound like a cop-out, but the real answer is to try it and see what happens. Because I was pleasantly surprised what that did after some of after and before some of my favorite overdrives. It did things I did not expect.
Right. Well, so. Even with pedal positioning, like people, I get a lot of people asking me, well, customers anyways, should I run the distortion before or after the delay? Mm-hmm. My personal preference is running it before. But and even Pete Thorne did a video on this where he put a distortion after a delay and got a fantastic sound out of it. It was a different sound, but he made it work. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's another one of those situations where there's no rule book, you know.
That's what makes this stuff so fun.
Yeah, it's all just based on opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like for example, I made chili today, put some mushrooms in it. My wife's like, "Why are you putting mushrooms in it? You don't put mushrooms in chili." I said, "No, you don't put mushrooms in chili. I do." You know,
that sounds good to me.
And then she smacked me upside the head and said, "Get back in place. Cook that chili and don't make another sound." No, I'm teasing.
Wow.
usually she just rolls her eyes at me.
I can, you know, I haven't hung out with you two together a lot, but I can verify the eye roll. I can. The handful of times I have been together with you two, there's definitely a lot of eye rolling going on her part.
Yes, I think that's how she copes. That's how she copes with having to live with someone like me.
I mean, I was going to say it's not undeserved.
No. I'll be the first to admit I'm a mess, man. I got all kinds of problems. You know, I mean, I'm a pretty eccentric person to live with. So.
No. No, guys like us are not weird at all. We're just we do this stuff because we're perfectly normal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. I don't know. Who was it even with? But basically, I was about how most of our industry is made up of artists who start a business rather than like a business guy who decides to jump in the pedal world, you know? There are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, we're all pretty much artist-y type personalities, you know? And so with that, you get a lot of quirks and weirdness and eccentric stuff and, you know what I mean?
And I think that's why most, and I think that's what makes it kind of a unique, I mean, everyone likes to think their thing is unique, but I really do believe this is a unique business in that like 85% of everyone gets along,
right?
Even though they could be construed as direct competitors, but they still like each other.
Right.
And I think that is because we're wired similarly. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Even as far as having like a private Facebook group for just builders,
don't think that's normal. I don't think it is normal. At all.
No, I mean, you know, if you sell, I don't know, if you sell insurance, like I don't think there's a group where it's like all the different insurance companies get together and tell each other their secrets.
No. Not to make it sound like we've got the Illuminati going on or anything, but it goes even further. It's not just like private, they're secret. Like private groups you can, or, you know, closed groups you can find.
Right.
And you can request to join them. This is like some back door.
Yeah, this is, you can't find this group unless you get invited to it.
Oh wait, I thought this is like Fight Club though. I forgot. First rule is to not talk about it.
This is like Fight Club, except we don't fight. We just talk about circuit stuff. And what would you do here if this was a situation? Well, here's what we did. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like underhand. Like I got an idea, everybody. Why don't we all raise our prices up by 20%? It's nothing like that. It's more like I'm out of these capacitors. Where do you guys get yours at?
And somebody would be like, I got some, let me send you some.
Yeah. it's stuff like that, you know.
But I mean, well, that is what's funny, like in the conversations we have, it is funny because we're all everyone's very friendly, but it's funny because like there will be some subjects you get to that you're like, yeah, so what about that? And like, well, you know, I can't tell you that,
right?
Like, come on, we're going too far now. I know we're friends and all, but come on.
Right. Yeah, there's, but I mean, to be fair, there's some things that you should never ask someone just out of tact, you know? And to some people, that line is blurry or it changes, you know?
Well, that's true.
That's so true. I mean, like if someone asked you something very private and intimate about, you know, you and your family, you may be like, yeah, I'm not real comfortable answering that. Whereas, you know, another person might be like, oh, yeah, of course, sure, you know.
Oh, yeah, everyone has different levels. It's just a random observation. It's a cool business. That's all. That's the gist of it. We used to like beat on that all the time. We were like, this is the coolest business ever. And we haven't done that for a while, so we should go back and say, this is the coolest business ever. Because
this is still the coolest business ever.
It really is.
So you're talking about your new gear day. You said you got some new gear.
You had almost got me to where I'd forgotten about it because I was just romanticizing the industry. Yeah, I got something kind of weird. Oh, I forgot the manufacturer's name, but it's an old Spring Reverb unit, and it's the Premier 90 Reverberation Unit, and a lot of people kind of thought it was a sort of a Fender spring tank type of thing, and it's definitely not. It is a spring tank, but it doesn't have like that splash and that drip that you associate with the Fender units.
Right.
It's this real like greasy lo-fi type of thing, and I love it.
It's like if somebody took a string of tin cans, strung them, wired them all together, and then ran a signal through it. Right.
Kinda. it's a little bit prettier than that, but what makes it so unique sounding to me is the preamp in it. So the preamp you can plug in and it comes with a foot switch, and you can turn it off. And so that just turns off the reverb portion of it. But you're still running through the preamp circuit. Mm-hmm. And if you goose that preamp with, like, a super clean boost or really hot pickups, oh, man, it's this weird, like, this, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, greasy overdrive character that I've never really heard before. So I almost like the preamp circuit out of it better than I like the actual reverb. I do like the reverb. It's kind of a lo-fi spring sound, but man, that preamp circuit is so cool. I'm having fun playing like greasy Delta blues licks with it. It's fantastic.
You playing blues licks?
Well, I mean, it's like if a metal player was playing blues, like real slow blues, just ba-dum, ba-dum, kind of like maybe more like Sabbath, I guess, would probably be a little, you know, that's kind of blues inspired type of stuff. So,
yeah, I guess you could put it that way. They make use of the pentatonic or the genotonic scale, you know?
Yeah. The gin and tonic scale. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's a cool thing. I don't know if you've seen these before or messed with them at all. I hadn't until just the other day. And I was like, I got to experiment with this because this is a sound I've not really heard before as far as dirt goes. I'm sure it exists. I'm sure there's a bunch of bands that have used it, but it was new to me. So I'm having a lot of fun with using this reverb preamp. That's that.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
I'll have to send you a clip.
Yeah, I don't, new gear day. Let's see. Was I getting new gear this week? I got some new prototypes.
That's exciting.
Let's see. Did I get anything else new? I don't think I did, which is kind of a bummer. But you know what? I guess you could call this gear. So it's right now it's Black Friday weekend, right? Where prices are low on everything in the world, right?
Of course.
And so I've been just jonesing hard for either Easy Drummer or Superior Drummer to plug in for your DAW. And I use Logic Pro X, so I have the drummer in that. But so I've just been doing like a lot of research on what each one does better, which one sounds like, which one's going to be better for my needs.
Right.
And I'm coming down to the wire because this is going to be over here soon. And I'm like, just, I can't make a decision which way to go. Part of it's the price because Superior Drummer is more expensive than Easy Drummer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could do more things. I hear some people say it sounds better. I don't know. But I don't like for the things that I want to do with it. Like, I'm not making an album. I just need to make some tracks for videos and stuff, you know?
Right, right. So demo type things.
Yeah. So, it you know, I don't need anything too extravagant. But then I start thinking, well, maybe I just need to learn to use Logic, the Logic Pro drummer, you know, maybe I need to do more YouTube watching and figure that out a little better. I don't know. I'm stuck on that decision part where I'm just like, I can't make the decision.
Sometimes I'm okay with breaking this stuff down for people. So, like, what's the price difference?
I don't have it pulled up right now. I think with the sale, I think Easy Drummer's like 107.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even recall what the Superior Drummer is.
Because that's a big factor. Like, if it's double, then and you don't think you're really going to need it, then I would say don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, forget. I'm trying to look it up now, but I had my browser closed because I had like 85 tabs open.
You mean you are like you were trying to podcast in a distracted manner? No.
So let's see. Superior Drummer 3 from TuneTrack. .com mm-hmm. Could save up to 80%. That doesn't mean anything. Says Superior Drummer is somewhere between 209 and 419.
I mean, for what you're saying you're going to do with it, I don't know any. Keep in mind, I know nothing about either of these plugins. But I'd go Easy Drummer.
Yeah, but what if I'm just not utilizing the drummer in Logic Pro as much as I could? Like, what if I could do the same thing? I just haven't learned how to yet. So that's where I'm stuck. It's like, do I really want to spend the money on that? I'm kind of chintzy. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I'm a kind of a cheapskate.
Yes, I have.
With purchases of my own.
Yes, I have. I mean, no, I haven't. I wouldn't say cheapskate. It's just practical, frugal. You know,
I'm very practical. Yes. So, I'm the guy that if you sell a pedal, I'll call you up and be like, "What's the best price you could do on that for a friend, man?" And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be like a marker, you know, a set of Sharpies, and I'm like.
Brian, for you, off. Double. I don't know. I don't know enough about that world, honestly. I'm actually going to have to learn here pretty soon. I've been saying that for a while, but it's starting to become more and more true. I don't know. My gut tells me that Logic probably has your bases covered if you can figure it out.
Yeah, so
it's one of those things that you're probably paying for convenience. So you got to weigh that in.
I need to listen to my own advice of less eBay and more Mel Bay. In this situation, I need to hunker down and watch some more YouTube videos.
I don't even want to hear that.
But if I was wrong, then I lose it and I have to pay $179 for Easy Drummer versus $107. Oh.
That's I know what you could do.
The tension. Uh-huh.
I have an idea. Yeah. You could go into like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, I don't know, the Wampler Pedals Tone Group, or maybe like the Tone Mob Facebook group, or, you know, like any of those gear groups, and maybe you could like ask.
I've done that in the Wampler group, and that's how I've narrowed it down to Superior Drummer and Easy Drummer.
Okay. Well, try in a different group. See what they say.
If I go in the Tone Mob group, it's going to be like, depends. What kind of pizza are you eating tonight?
That's right. Well, I mean, that is a factor. That is a very, very important factor in all decisions is what kind of pizza. Actually, I am having pizza tonight. It's exciting.
I had pizza last night, so today's chili.
Not a bad choice. That's true. You will get. I'm sorry, Brian. It all depends on whether you're getting sardines on that pie or not.
Well, that's never ever going to happen. So,
that's something I never thought I'd like. I had it once. Wasn't bad.
No, you're wrong.
No, have you had it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no. I've never actually eaten it. I've just seen it, and I'm like, that's disgusting.
Well, that's what I thought, too. And then I ate it, and I was like, actually, not half bad. I thought it was disgusting, but I was wrong.
No, thank you. Uh-uh. I don't want minnows. It's not something I'm not putting minnows on my pizza. That, you know what those are? That's bait. That's bait for fishing. The same way that you're talking about your little shrimp thing. Shrimp is bait. If you go, saltwater fishing, you use shrimp for bait. Why would you put bait on my plate to eat? No.
You'd catch me. Imagine reeling me out of the water. Like, hey, how's it going? This is a great charter fishing tour that we're on. Oh, I've caught me a Blake fish.
Throw that one back.
Yeah, throw that back. That's not good. Plus, he's overweight.
Oh, this one's a real fatty one. Oh, throw this thing.
Yeah. This one ain't not going to be good at all. Throw this one back.
Oh, man.
All right, man. So that's that's a good episode for us. We're around 40 minutes or so.
I feel like I made more sense than I thought I was going to make, but I still didn't make a whole lot of sense.
We'll see. I noticed while we were recording, my computer said your hard drive is too slow. And so this audio file of me, my voice, very possible in the middle of it that it switches to my iPhone headphones here and uses that mic because basically my iMac is pissing me off.
Well,
and I'm ready to get a new one.
I am too, actually. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. This is where I should not be so frugal and be like, nah, it's only 5 years old. It's totally fine, man. Like,
oh, man.
You know, I need a solid-state hard drive. And,
I'm running on 09 Mac Pro right now.
Are you really? Wow, you're...
Yeah.
Mine's a little newer than that, but...
I have newer ones, but the one I have out here for recording is old.
I'm only on 8 gigs of RAM, too, so that's kind of a problem, which is why I have to restart the thing, like, every time I do a podcast.
Yeah, that would do it. I kind of went whole hog when I got this thing back in the day with the idea that it would last me a really long time, and that has proven successful, so I'm not mad about it.
Huh.
So, anyway, enough talk about that.
And that's a fantastic ending for this podcast.
All right, Brian, I'll talk to you next time. Hopefully we do it sooner.
All right, great. Thanks, man.
Bye.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, I live, breathe, eat, and sleep those comments and questions. That's what drives me to continue doing this. So please email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. I'd be glad to answer your question. If it's one we can answer on the show, we'll do that. I also do Q&As from time to time where I take all these backlogs of questions and try to answer them, every one of them that I can. So thanks for listening. Really appreciate all you guys out there who do like the Chasing Tone podcast. We'll talk to you next week.